These verses, a couple of them that I want to handle tonight from Thessalonians, are real tremendous. And of course, tonight we're into one of those verses that caused me no end of difficulty in research and trying to understand. And when I finally did get the accuracy of it, it just helped me immeasurably in the understanding of God's Word. This final chapter in this book, this volume 4 that just came out, the final chapter in here should be read during this period while we're dealing with Thessalonians, as should chapter 2 in Are the Dead Alive Now? I will be going into Are the Dead Alive Now, because there is a section in there that deals specifically with this verse or these verses that I'm wanting to share tonight. A lot of the stuff that we're doing here in Thessalonians you'll never find in any commentary and any other writings. It's just stuff that you have to work on the accuracy of the word. And of course, you'll see why this becomes so important, I guess, as we get into it. We're going to do chapter 2, verse 2, because I think the last time we did verse 1 or finished with verse 1 of chapter 2. And remember, verse 1 deals by our gathering together unto him. Verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. The word that is to the end that. Gathering together unto him to the end that ye be not soon shaken. The word soon is like the word quickly. And the word shaken is this word meaning move to and fro, flipping back and forth, to the end that ye be not quickly flipped to and fro, soon shaken, in mind. And the in mind, the word in should basically be from a mindset. In other words, your mind ought to be set so that you're not soon shaken. It's interesting how they translated that word from in. To the end that ye be not quickly moved to and fro from your mindset. Understand why it would be used that way? And everything begins in the mind. That's where the decisions are made to believe. That's where the decisions are made to question. And here in Thessalonians, he said that ye be not quickly shaken, means don't get shook. Don't flip back and forth, because you have a stayed what? Mind. Or be troubled. The word troubled is this Greek word spelled T-H-R-O-E-O-M-A-I. Throomai. And when I work that word down to its minute accuracy, it's like someone being momentarily frightened and yelling. That's the troubled. Like being frightened. You've seen people just frightened at one spur of the moment and then make a loud noise, yell. So you have a stayed mind, nor be frightened, making a loud noise, troubled. Neither by, and you have three bys coming up, and one from, you see them? By spirit first, then by word, then by letter, and then from us. Do you see the word from us? All four of those words are the same Greek word. They're all dia, D-I-A. And that means proceeding from. Regarding the gathering together, We are not to be frightened, shook, that we are troubled, as it's neither by proceeding from, by spirit. And I really do not know the in-depth greatness of this spirit in here. I worked it from every angle I know, and whether he is saying here that this was by devil spirits speaking through people who were saying, look, Christ has already come, I don't know. I sort of feel that that could be it, because my believing for that is the next phrase, nor by word. In other words, here's a spirit speaking through someone, and someone else stands up and says, well, this is the word, he has come, this kind of thing. And they had even counterfeited statements that as by letter, as by us, that we wrote a letter that said this. You have the spirit, word, letter, as by us, as that the day of Christ. This day of Christ in the text is as that the day of the Lord. Both definite articles, the Lord. Is at hand. That the day of the Lord is at hand. A more literal translation of that Greek word is that it's already set in. S-E-T-I-N. That it's already started. The people in Thessalonica had really had a lot of pressure put on them from other people who were possessed, or at least speaking for the adversary if they weren't possessed, and they were giving contrary information, contrary to the truth of God's word. And this is why God had Paul to write this to them, that they would not be flipping out as if the Spirit had been speaking it, or somebody else gave a word contrary to what they'd been taught, or that he had sent a letter to somebody and said that the Lord's day, or the day of the Lord, is already set in. Then he goes to that third verse. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And this is the verse that has caused no end of difficulty, and it cost me a lot of that too. Almost 15 or 20 years of my life, I couldn't handle it, in my ministry life, not my age. But because this particular verse has been utilized saying there has to be a falling away. In other words, people have to refuse to believe the gospel, the word of God. There has to be that falling away first before the Lord can come. Well, if that's true, he should have come 10,000 years ago or something. So I knew from my experience in life and watching people and the churches and stuff that there was something wrong with the verse, but I could never get my finger on it. Didn't know what to do with it. The words let no man literally means let no one. And many times the word one is the word in the text, it's translated man. And I think you can understand that, because again, man is an inclusive noun, including women and so forth, but literally it is let no one, no one, or anyone, do not allow anyone deceive you. And that word deceive is the Greek word spelled E-X-A-P-A-T-A-O, long O at the end. It is interesting that here in this third verse we have a double negative. No man and no means. Any means is the word no means. A double negative, and a double negative in the Greek text is used for very great specific emphasis. And if I were to read this in English in a public meeting where I really wanted to emphasize the greatness of the revelation that's given here, I would read it, "Let no one deceive you by no means." That's the emphasis. The word "by" is the word "kata." And the word "kata" means along. Any lines. Don't let anyone deceive you along any lines. By no means. And the word in the text again is the Greek word M-E-D-E-I-S. In other words, do not allow anyone to deceive you along any lines. Isn't that beautiful? Nothing, no matter whether it's written or spoken or said, just allow no man, no one, anyone to deceive you. Because, the word "for" is because. For. And I think you know every time I hit a preposition, I look it up in the text. I never take a preposition for granted that I know what it means, because I don't know, because there are so many usages of prepositions, and you can wrongly divide the word so quickly on prepositions. So every time I hit a preposition, I look it up. At least I look it up in my mind, because I happen to know all the prepositions and how they're used. And especially if I have a Greek text in front of me, I will know what the cases are and this kind of stuff. And so it's quite easy for me. But when you first begin working the word, you may have to check Bollinger's Analytical or one of those to find out for sure what the preposition is all about. Because, and here you go to an italicized section which they brought forth from verse 2, as that the day of the Christ is at hand, they added this, that day of Christ which is set in shall not come. See, you're just going to have to hold that stuff in abeyance because they added it. Let no man deceive you by any means, for, because. The word "except" is the same as "if." Let no man deceive you by any means, because. Except or if there come a falling away first. This falling away first is where we have done the great amount of work. And first of all, the word "a" is the definite article, "the." It's the Greek word "he," H-E, long E. And falling away is the word, Greek word, apostasia, A-P-O. S-T-A-S-I-A. Apostasia is made up of two words, apo, a preposition apo, meaning away from, and stasia is separated. I think the best translation that it is possible to do of this verse is, because, except there come the separated away from. It's a very clumsy, very literal, very clumsy though. These words he apostasia, meaning the separation or the separated ones, has to be and is the gathering together of verse 1 of chapter 2. The greatest piece of work that we have done in that is on pages 37 and 38 of this book, Are the Dead Alive Now?, where we have documented it. And this, perhaps sometime you ought to transfer at least the salient facts here into the footnotes on your Bible at the bottom of the page or something. And here is what's in the footnote on page 38. The Geneva Bible and the Cranmer Bible, first published in 1537, and the Tyndale Bible, published in 1539, preceded the King James translation of 1611, and all of these translate the words a falling away first as a departure first. And I think this is really beautiful. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Properly translated, a falling away first is the gathering together before the day of the Lord comes. There must be a departure of the born-again believers from this world to be with Christ. After this will come to pass that the man of sin be revealed. Now, that does not mean he's not upon the earth before, but it is after that occurrence that he's what? Revealed. Which will then be followed by the day of wrath. In 2 Thessalonians 2:3, the Greek words are he apostasia. The word he is the article the. The prefix apo means away from. Having a circle, apo would be illustrated as a line in motion from the exterior of the circle to some distant point. Stasia means to separate or draw out. He apostasia is a separation from or a drawing out from among. It is the departure. The church will be departed and with Christ before the wrath of the day of God's judgment comes to pass. And then we go into this section in Romans and Thessalonians 1:10, Romans 5:9, and some of the other scriptures. That's why I said, I think you ought to read this chapter while we're working Thessalonians here. I think that's chapter 2. Look it up for you. It is. When shall the dead be made alive? The return of Christ begins on page 29. See, even though those words that are in italics carry over from verse 2, they're not too inaccurate at all if you understand the word apostasia and its usage. Then you could very beautifully read it, for that day shall not come except there come the departure, the gathering together. You cannot handle the words gathering together from the text. You can handle the words the separate ones or the away ones. You can handle the word departure very definitely from a synonymous usage of words. There has to be the departure, and that's why that's such a fantastic verse. There come a departure first, and after that, the man of sin. And the word sin is total depravity. Be revealed. And the word revealed is again the same word that's used for the word revelation or revealed all the way through the word. And it's the word apocalypto. It's just the tense here, verb form. But it's apocalypsis, appearing, the apocalypse. The book of Revelation is referred to many times in writings as the apocalypse, means revealed, revelation. This man of total depravity, of total sin, of sin, be revealed, and this one is the son of perdition. And this word perdition is, again, the word apolia, A-P-O-L-E-I-A, which means utter or final ruin. That's its literal meaning. That the man of sin, of total depravity, be revealed, the son of utter and final ruin. This is the one who, according to the record in the word, is totally controlled and totally possessed and totally operating that which is utter and final ruin for people. When we get to verse 4, it will explain more about him. But the biggest thing I see, and the thing that just made this word so fantastically real and living to me, is that departure of verse 3. That day of the revealing of this man of sin is not going to come to pass until after we've gone to be with the Lord. Not by death. Some yes, but the living will be what? Changed. And then after that, that man of sin is going to be revealed. And then that day of wrath and all that starts. The very beautiful section in here, this last chapter, is the final victory chapter. Here it is. There are four basic events included in the times of the end when Christ returns. This is their order. One, Christ coming for the church. That's this verse 1 of chapter 2 we read about. The body of Christ to gather them together and meet them in the air. Number 2, the events of the book of Revelation with Christ coming with the church. They have so confused the preposition for and with, and they've caused no end of problems for people. Christ coming for the church and Christ coming with the church are two entirely different acts of God. Coming for his church is the gathering together of chapter 2, verse 1. His coming with the church is some period of time after. And number 3, the first and second resurrections. You see, with the gathering together, you do not have a resurrection. Boy, that's beautifully stated in this chapter here. Every resurrection is a rising, but not every rising is a resurrection. Like every apostle is a disciple, but not every disciple is an apostle. That's what's used in that chapter. And that makes it very clear. There are two resurrections. The first and the latter resurrection, or the second. But they do not apply to the church, for the church is not resurrected. The dead in Christ shall rise. Those which are alive and remain shall be what? Changed. Resurrection refers only to Israel or to unbelievers. It never refers to the church. And boy, what a fantastic thing that was when we learned that. Because that just took so many things and clarified them. Because the teaching has been that the church goes through the tribulation because the church has to be resurrected. You know, they have to be in that first resurrection. No, 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 there's no resurrection for the church. Because to have a resurrection biblically speaking, everybody has to be dead. And not everybody is dead with the return of Christ. Some will be. Like tonight, some of our brothers and sisters in Christ are dead. If he came right now, not all of us would be dead, because we happen to be still breathing. So the church will never be resurrected. The dead in Christ will rise. Those that are alive at that moment shall be changed. That's why you're called mortal now. And that's why the scripture says in Corinthians, which you'll see in this last chapter, which handles all of 1 Corinthians 15, you will see that with the coming of Christ, the dead in Christ rise, we which are mortals have to put on immortality. Immanuel Kant wrote on the immortality of the soul. He's a great philosopher, but he conjectured into a field he couldn't approach scientifically or intellectually, and he didn't know the word. He was not knowledgeable of the word. The only immortality is for mortals when they are changed with the return of Christ. This mortal must put on what?
Immortality.
The corruption must put on what? See how simple that thing really becomes, and yet how accurate. And without that accuracy and the simplicity that I'm sharing with you, you will never handle the resurrections or the return of Christ. And the reason they're still fighting in the fundamental circles about the tribulation period and people going through the day of wrath is because they do not understand verse 3, that the falling away is not a falling away from Christ, but it is a departure, the gathering together. And until they get that back in the accuracy of the word, they'll never understand it. And that's why you can understand it, because it fits, it makes sense, and works. Remember that every resurrection is a rising, but not every rising is a resurrection. Just as every apostle is a disciple, but not every disciple is a what? Right. Then you'll have no problem with it. Well, that's all I'm going to teach you on this tonight.